Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, we are live here on Vendetta Pro Radio. My name is Brawlin' Bo Cooper, the punk rock powerhouse, and my host, as always, the man, Billy Blade. Billy, what's happening, baby? Are we ready to rock and roll? We got an awesome guest tonight, man.
Oh, totally, man. This is going to be very awesome, very special week for Vendetta Pro Radio, as well as Biggest Little Show on Radio on Thursday, because we're basically remembering the legacy of a wrestler. I personally think one of the best wrestlers of all time. His name is Trent Acid, known as Holy Trent Acid. He passed away, unfortunately, about 10 years ago. On Thursday will be 10 years. And he has so many friends and family and wrestlers, brotherhood and sisterhood. We're all family. And so when we lost Trent, it definitely it took a toll on a lot of us. And 10 years later, it still just doesn't seem right without Trent. But our guest tonight, he is a hardcore legend. He's also a former, obviously, Juggalo Championship Wrestling champion. He was also former, or I don't think he's even former. I think he still might be the champion. I'm not sure. But Pro Wrestling Unplugged hardcore champion. And this is Pro Wrestling Unplugged Radio as well. So I'm bringing to you guys Corporal Robinson. Corporal Robinson, how you doing, my friend?
What's up, fellas? How the hell y'all doing tonight, man? Thanks for having me on, man.
We're doing great, man. Thanks for taking the time to join us tonight here. Corporal, man, like I said earlier when we talked for a quick second before we went live, man, you've been around the world. You've done some of the most craziest, brutal, hardcore matches that anyone could even witness. I myself, have dabbled with the deathmatch style and the hardcore wrestling. I've been doing this a long time. But, man, it's a pleasure and an honor to finally get the chance to even talk to you, because it's crazy how many locker rooms I've shared with some of the, top stars up there. And I'm really surprised I never, crossed paths with you, man. So we appreciate you coming on here and telling us your legacy. And speaking of legacy, man, we always like to start off by just, if you don't mind, giving us a small, taste of how you got involved in pro wrestling. Like, what was your first, witnessing of it, or how did you become a pro wrestler?
Well, see, I started down south. I mean, when we're talking 27 years ago, but my love of pro wrestling started when I was like 7 or 8. And my dad would always watch every Saturday night. There'd be USWA wrestling with Jerry Lawler and Tojo Yamamoto and Dutch Mantel, and Jeff Jarrett was real young back then. His dad was running the company. You had Jamie and Wolfie, PG-13, and them guys, that was every Saturday morning. We'd watch that, then we'd go fishing every Saturday. It was a routine, man, for up until the time I was like 17, So that was like our family tradition, was watching independent wrestling, At the time, I didn't know what it was. I just, thought it was wrestling. That's what it is. But today is what we would call independent wrestling every Saturday. And I fell in love with the sport then. And then, I went to the Marine Corps, 4 years, did my duty there, tour there, got out. And the first thing we did was go to Louisville Gardens, that Tuesday night when I was out, me and two other Marines, and then it got a little crazy that night. Doug Gilbert and Tommy Rich come out talking crazy, called us a bunch of Marines a bunch of pussies. I smashed Doug in the nose. Security ended up dragging me in the back. All the boys surrounded us. It's a big story. You've probably seen it, heard a million times, but they surrounded us. I thought we were going to get killed. Instead, Lawler and them asked me to join the wrestling school, and boom, bam, bam, there it goes. That's what started.
Awesome, man. Well, before we go any further, me and Billy Blade, we just want to say thank you for your service, serving this great country. I got a lot of homeboys that are Marines, man, and you guys are you are the most toughest motherfuckers out there, man. So we appreciate the fact that you, stood there and protected Old Glory, man. Billy, what do you got for Corporal Robinson, man?
Well, I think a lot of people, correct me if I'm wrong, I try to, I haven't seen him in since PW days back in Philly, but like, you know, I try to research my guests even if I don't really need to, but like, I notice I see a lot of stuff I didn't know on every guest I have, even if I think I know him for 20 years or whatever.
Right.
You were also in college baseball, correct? Before you went to Marines?
Yeah. That was the whole deal. That's how I ended up in the Marine Corps, though. I was all state in Southern Indiana in baseball, and I got to end up getting a full ride to Indiana University on a baseball scholarship. Well, when I got to IU, I thought it would be like high school. All I got to do is perform on the baseball diamond, and I'd get my grades. Well, in Indiana didn't give a fuck about my baseball career when it came to going to class. See, I didn't go to class, but I went to practice, and I was performing well. But I figured they would cover that in. Well, it went like blue chips, man. They didn't cover shit. They flunked my ass straight the fuck out of there and yanked the scholarship. Well, instead of coming back to town and telling everybody, you know, I blew my shit, I went ahead. There was a Marine Corps recruiter out there. The day they pulled my scholarship, he was standing in front of the baseball park. He was like, hey, man, we can pay you to play baseball. I came out upset, you know, crying shit. I was pissed, kicking shit, throwing shit, acting a fool. He was like, man, he goes, we can pay to play baseball. You know what I'm saying? You just got to make it through this, what we call boot camp. Well, I didn't know what the fuck boot camp was or anything like that. I had uncles who was in the Army. I had uncles in the Navy. I didn't have anybody who was in the fucking Marine Corps. So I'm thinking, well, you know, he goes, like, Army, Navy, football. You know, we travel around, you play baseball and all that shit. And I'm like, all right, cool, man. That sounds like a fucking win. I can still play baseball. So I thought I was down. Well, they fucking got me good. They got me real good. Because I'd never seen a baseball diamond the whole fucking 4 years I was in the Marine Corps, but I shot a lot of people and hung out and did all that shit. But I played for the football team a couple times, you know what I'm saying? And I never even played football in high school, but I did for them. I ended up quarterbacking, but I never seen a baseball diamond the whole fucking time I was in the Marine Corps.
Damn, they worked us, right? They worked.
Like, they worked the shit out of me. They got me. I went in on Friday, I swore in Saturday, and I shipped out Sunday to Parris Island.
Oh, shit. Like, well, you know what's funny is, that's the only thing. I mean, man, we got a lot of friends that listen to the show, been on the show, they're Marines and, you know, a lot of military and whatnot. But, man, that's the only reason I don't think I've ever done it because, man, I felt like I was being worked when I was talking to them, you know. Like, I'm like, bro, like, I don't sound like fun, you know. But
yeah, well,
they worked
the shit out of me. It went great.
Yeah, like Bo said, we thank you for the service because, I mean, if it wasn't for people like you, I mean, we want to be able to do what we do, and a lot of people, I think, forget that, and that's the sad thing about this crazy world and everything going on. I think they forget, you know, it wasn't for people like yourself, you know. We wouldn't have
a lot of bills when I was in, too, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, these guys are putting their lives on the line every day. Every day we get to even wake up every day, man, these guys are putting their lives on the line and putting it out there. That's
totally,
one thing it did was it made me grow up real fucking quick. That's what it is. You know, we started with 90 and we graduated 30. You know what I'm saying? So, they cut through that shit real quick. But the good thing was I was in real good shape, you know. So, going to Marine Corps boot camp in good shape, that was a positive plus for me.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Especially with all the stuff you have to go through. Like, you know, I have my daughter's boyfriend in boot camp right now. And so I think he's in that first phase, whatever you call it. I forgot what they call it. Second phase. Now he's in second phase. He passed the what do you call it? Hell, whatever.
He's getting ready to hit the field soon. Second phase is your rifle range, and third phase is the field.
Oh, okay.
My best man, man. Sorry, Bill. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was just going to say before I forget, my best man at my wedding. You know, I didn't know much about the service. I was a punk rock fat kid who, you know, basically did pro wrestling his whole life before, you know, I should have gone to the service to get my ass in shape, but my best man at my wedding, his name's Edward McDevitt. He's a Force Recon. He did a lot of, you know, deployments across the sea, and he went to overseas tours, but Force Recon, you know, he always tells me some crazy stories, man. So we definitely,
this guy,
we definitely
no motherfucking joke. I was 0311 infantry, man. The Force Recon crew, man, they're bad motherfuckers, dude. Bad motherfuckers. That's the best of the best right there.
That's great. That's amazing, man. So when you who trained you when you finally, you know, when they asked you to come to wrestling school, was it Jamie Dundee and all them?
Tracy and Jamie and Wolfie did a lot of the training early for me, you know, and that's when, I don't know if y'all remember any of this shit, but that's when Lawler had sold USWA to two different people. You know what I'm saying? There was a crew in Memphis that bought it, and then Mike Samples and them had bought some of it too. So Mike Samples kept the Louisville, Evansville, Indianapolis, Southern Kentucky loop. You know what I'm saying? He kept that part of it, and then the other promoters kept the Memphis, Nashville, down south Alabama, that loop. And I stayed with Mike Samples, and that was known as KCW's Kentuckiana Championship Wrestling, but Mike had Louisville Gardens, and that's where I'd always watched everybody wrestle. That's where I'd seen everybody, so that's where I wanted to be. Back then they started – I was always Corporal Robinson. That gimmick's never changed, but back then I was a big babyface that came out with the American flag and all that shit, you know, and I was wrestling Tower of Doom and the Shooting Stars and guys like this with Jamie and Wolfie. Well, Sabu and Van Damme and them started coming in, and I was already a big fan of the ECW style. Well, Ian Rotten had started firing – he had just brought IWA Mid-South to Louisville, Kentucky. It was just brand new. And he started flying Louisville Gardens where we was drawing at. And I got one of the flyers and shit, and my ex was going out there. So I was like, you know what, fuck it, let me check this shit out. So I checked it out, man, and that shit was nuts. Fans had weapons. They were beating the fuck out of each other. You know, shit was crazier in hell, and I was always a big fan of ECW style anyway. I was a big fan of Funk, a big fan of Cactus, a big fan, you know what I'm saying, of all these guys, you know. Dreamer really big, you know what I'm saying? It was a big mark for Dreamer back then. And so I'm like, fuck, this is where I need to go, you know what I'm saying? Well, then Jamie Wolf and them are like, look, man, we're going to go over to this IWA Mid-South stuff. And I'm like, fuck, and damn, so Ian gave me a shot too, you know what I'm saying? And so what had happened was I'd actually started showing up at shows just to hang out and chill. Well, we were at No Blood, No Guts, No Glory in New Albany, Indiana, and Madman Pondo was supposed to wrestle Trailer Park Trash in a weapons match to blow off their big feud because Danny Davis and Ian were working together at the time. So it was OBW and IWA, big feud they were doing. And what had happened was Trailer Park Trash no-showed it because he was supposed to put Pondo over that night. And he didn't want to put Pondo over, so he no-showed the show. So Ian was short this big weapons match in the semi-main event. So he was like, hey, man, do you want to do this? I know you've never done this shit before. And I was like, fuck it. Fuck yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this and be the best at this shit. And that's really where it took off, you know what I'm saying? Me and Pondo in my first ever weapons match, you know, because I'd just done the regular wrestling stuff, you know, for a year. I hadn't done any kind of gimmicks. I didn't know nothing about any of that shit, man, until there. And we did it, man, and killed it, man. I killed it. I showed out real big there, and the IWA fans started loving me from there on in out to the last day I was ever there, man. The IWA fans always loved me.
Oh, IWA is huge. Yeah. I mean,
they're the most brutal fans I've ever seen.
Yep, so that was the beginning. And then once I started there, I started working my way up the ladder, and then I started going nationally, and then I started making my name bigger and bigger and bigger. And then that's when, you know, the clowns had signed me, and I started working for Joe just security-wise for years. I was still wrestling for IWA and everybody else, but nobody knew me, you know, as psychopathic as a wrestler. And then when Rudy had left and all that shit had happened, Joe was like, wait a minute, don't you wrestle everywhere? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, don't you got connections? Don't you know? I'm like, yeah, I can do all that shit. And then that's when I took over JCW and blew it into the biggest shit it ever been.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, when I was, younger, I used to listen to, you know, ICP. And I know that when you became involved, the shit blew up even bigger than it was for, you know, Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Tell
right.
the fans up there, you know, the, how it was, you know, working for one of the biggest at the time. You know, one of the biggest rap groups / you know, entertainers when it comes to, you know, wearing the face paint and doing their thing, you know, and having a mass following. Because I know when you went there, you were, you know, working IWA with, you know, Ian and you were getting bloody and crazy and shit. But when you went there, did they tell you to, like, you know, did they tell you almost like calm down a little bit, or did they let you do whatever the fuck they wanted?
You know, when I first went there, I did the exploding barbed wire match with Ian and him. That's the first time Joe had ever saw me. And then the second time he saw me, I was wrestling Sabu for ICW in Detroit, and I was wrestling for the world title. And Sabu was going back to ECW, so he's dropping the world title to me. And that's when the Lynch Mob was really big. That was me, Too Tough Tony, Cash Flow, Madman Pondo, and Necro Butcher. We were known as the Lynch Mob up there. And it was a huge faction, and I was kind of the leader of the faction. You know what I'm saying? And it was a big, big ordeal. I mean, we were selling out the Amada Hall every month sold out, you know, big houses. You know, and Joe had came there and watched the show, man, and then he invited me and Tony. Tony had already been working for him a little bit, you know what I mean? He had done the first tour and shit, and Tony had been working with him already. Me and Tony were best friends at the time. So he was like, man, why don't you bring Fork with you over to my crew afterwards, and we'll hang out and talk. And we were staying an extra night, so it wasn't a big deal. Then I went over there. We ended up talking and shit. He asked me about my background, which he found out I was a Marine. I was really good at security. I could do all that. And they had guys that really didn't take the shit professionally, which I did. You know what I'm saying? So when I stepped in just doing security, man, I take it seriously. You know what I'm saying? When I'm protecting somebody's life or I'm making sure they're safe and all that, I took that shit super serious. And I made sure there was never any issues. You know what I'm saying? None whatsoever. The stages quit getting rushed. All the drama stopped. You know what I'm saying? They knew when Corporal was up there wasn't no fucking around. You know what I'm saying? You come up on that stage, I'm knocking you slick the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can get near my artists unless they want you up there. They want you up there, it's cool. They don't want you up there, it's a bad day for you if you come up there. Well, I was super cool with the fans, and Joe says, I always showed them respect unless they disrespected us. You know what I'm saying? If I'm disrespected, then right. I disrespect you back. But unless that, I'll always respect you and be cool and nice and sign shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm always super cool unless forced not to be. And then when I was forced not to be, I made an example out of them. You know, and got a rap, you know what I'm saying? And she started telling her, look, man, don't be an idiot. Not when Corp said it. It'll be a bad day for you, you know what I'm saying? Don't fuck around like that, you know? And finally the years and years kept passing where I just kept everything in check, you know what I'm saying? I handled everything that we went through on the road, on tour, at home, every which way, shape, or form, I handled business. And it was a pleasure and an honor to be there. It was a great freaking 12 years of my life. There's a lot of, you know, animosity here and there, but we've lost so many people, so many things have gone by that I've let all that shit go, you know what I'm saying? Because we're never promised tomorrow anymore, you know what I'm saying? So right. No sense of having old school beef or worrying about dumb shit. The bottom line of the whole ordeal, we got to build, me and Joe and KG, Tony and them got to build one of the biggest companies there ever was. I mean, we were competing with TNA and WWE on pay-per-view buys and everything. You know, it was a great time. It was an unbelievably awesome time to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Were you a part of the – because I used to play it all the time, you know, in like 98, I think it came out, or maybe a little bit later, 2000. But were you a part of the video game?
Yeah. Me and Tony were actually the mummies in the video game. If you watch the back scenes where ICP wrestled the mummies, that was me and Tony.
Okay.
Funny. You're talking about the backyard video game, right, Ro? The backyard wrestling video game? See, Corp, I don't know if you were at the – were you at the premiere party when we did the show in San Francisco? Were you there for that?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay, so I was – see, the funny thing is I met you there before I even knew you in Philly. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
See, I brought the ring there that night, and I remember such a
party.
Yeah.
It was me and Tony wrestled Joe and Joey as the mummies.
Okay, yeah, so it was a crazy night because that was a fun night, man, and – like it was funny because ICP came out of their bus. They had their own bus. It was hilarious. Yeah. And they wanted me to wrestle. The guy from CCW? For the guy that ran CCW, they wanted me to wrestle him because
DJ
Hunter was running late. Zandig. So they wanted me to wrestle Zandig. Yeah. And I'm like, I'd never really done like that style of hardcore. So I was a little worried because Nate Webb was supposed to wrestle him. He was running late. He showed up last minute, so I didn't work the show. But that was an experience, man. I was outdoor. I don't remember where it was at, but it just was – that was a fun time. And if you guys are listening, everybody listening at home, I mean, we also – Bo Cooper also was a security guard. You know, he's done a lot of security for a lot of bands and whatnot and bars and whatnot, so he totally understands what you're going through. There's a gentleman we had a couple weeks ago, about a month ago. He works – he's in the wrestling scene, and it was Bret Michaels and Kid Rock. He's, like, head of security. So I can only imagine – now. The ICP fans, man, they're not like other fans. They're like crazy fans. Like, they're so loyal to ICP. What are some of the crazy things, like, you've dealt with all these fans?
Oh, man, brother. Holy shit. Over a 12-year career? Fuck.
Oh, you know, a couple things that stand out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, of course, we'd be rushed places. And, you know, the crazier part was the longer it went on, once I became, they realized I was Corporal Robinson, then – we would use me as a decoy because the fans would rush me and Joe and Joey would sneak off. You know what I'm saying? So we ended up using me as a decoy so they could slide away, where in the beginning nobody knew who the fuck I was whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? They didn't give a care. I was just a startup big dude that was making sure they wasn't fucking around. I mean, there's tons of stories about, you know, fans and people rushing the bus and, you know, us in certain bars, me having to knock out three or four guys because they wanted to step to Joe, you know, and, you know, my first year in, I probably knocked out a good 12, 13 people just on us going out at, that night at the bars. Because, you know, at that time, you know, saying the Eminem thing came out, and I kind of beat up the bodyguards and all that shit went down. And, you know, so my whole goal in life was to make sure Joe was safe. And it didn't matter what I went through to go through it. The funny part was we went everywhere in the world, and not one person whooped my ass through the whole thing. You know what I'm saying?
That's an example. Yeah. You're the best person to have
expected,
by your side.
I expected to get my ass whooped a few times, especially when they had the numbers. But that didn't end up happening. They ended up laying there bloody and really bad, and we were ended up running from cops.
So I have a couple friends of the show, and also Bo Cooper has been on the show with us as well. So one time I'm watching TV, right, Corp, and the next thing you know, I'm watching Operation Repo, and the next thing you know, I see this biker crew that beat up Froy on Operation Repo, supposedly, right? So I'm like, wait a minute.
I did, man. I broke his eye socket.
and legit?
Yeah. Here's the story of that on the Operation Repo deal, man.
Are we talking about
you
broke Matt's eye?
Yeah, Froy's face.
Froy,
Operation Repo.
Those dudes used to manage me because they used to live out, you know, in the valley out here in Southern California, and I would have a couple shows locally, and they would always come to the shows, and one of the promoters said, hey, why don't they, you know, walk you out to the ring? I said, okay, and then I became cool with them, you know, but that's funny. I'd never seen that episode. Where can I find this shit? Because I would love to see you.
Man, it's on YouTube and everything, man. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I'll find
it. It was the most watched episode in Operation Repo history.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you. Tell me the story about it, but one second, I'll tell you one thing about it. So Froy and me are friends, and so me and Matt, I've known them since, you know, they worked one of our very first Vendetta Pro Wrestling shows, like 2010. But he, Matt used to train to be a wrestler here and there, but he never finished. But Froy told me that he still, to this day, gets fan mail because of that episode. So go ahead. Now tell the story.
Yeah, so we're filming Big Money Wrestlers, and we're filming it in L.A., and I'm out there. And me and Tony, what had happened was we did our parts in the movie, plus we were pulling off the stunts. We was doing all the stunts in the movie. So they got rid of the stunt guys pretty much and used me and Too Tough Tony to do a lot of the stunts because they didn't have to pay them at all. They just paid me and Tony a regular wage, and they got somebody doing all the bumps and crazy shit without having to pay that big price tag. So the guy that was in charge of the stunts was also in charge of everything that went on the Operation Repo stage. And we had some guys run on the stage one night, and I ended up having to lay a couple out really fast. Blah, blah, drop them. He said, man. So he come up to me afterwards. He said, hey, bro, we got this TV show going on, man. And we got some bikers, man. And if you're down with it, man, we want to pay you. You got to do it in one take. We're going to pay you to knock out Froy. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Who's Froy and what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, look, man, you're going to be a part of this biker gang. He said, but we need one shot, one take. I said, well, as long as I don't go to jail in L.A. because I'm a white boy. And a white boy going to jail in L.A. could be really dangerous. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to be locked up in L.A. County, you know, for a period of time. I might be, I'll be all right for a few days, but, you know, a period of time, they're going to get the numbers on me. You know what I'm saying? So, especially when they see all my Devil tattoos and all that shit. I'm like, so that affiliation's already going to be there. So he's like, no, man, I promise you won't go to jail. I just need one shot. And I said, well, listen, man, you know, you've heard the stories and all that shit about my punches. You know, the lottery punches, they're super fast. I said, it's like the lotto. Sometimes you win, but most of the time you lose. And I was like, as long as I don't get sued or anything like that, I'll do that episode. I'll do it. He said, all right, man, well, you're going to get $2,000 if you do it in one shot, and you're going to get $500 if we got to reset it, because then the people know it's coming. He goes, we want them not to know it's coming. He said, you know, we're doing a reality show. I was like, all right, cool. He said, so, you know, it's got to be a one-shot one. I was like, well, that's no problem with me. So he sets me out, man. He's like, man, we're going where that Hatchet Man charm and all that. Well, I was promoting psychopathic shit, so I was throwing it up in front of the camera. I was doing all my shit. And then, you know, come to it. The guy looks at me and says, what do you think about that? And that's my cue to lay dude out. Well, when I did, I laid dude out. You know, I straight crushed him right there, man. Straight crushed him right there. You know, then I broke three or four cameras, and the cops came and all that shit, and, you know, that was the episode. I got my $2,000.
That is, you know, crazy. I mean, he's 5'4", too. That's crazy that he, you know, did he put himself in that situation, or they didn't, like you said, he didn't know it was coming, right?
I have no idea. I never talked to him. I never talked to him afterwards. I never talked to him before. I never talked to him ever again after that one episode.
Oh, crap. That's crazy. Because like I said, he said that he still gets fans. I knew a lot of it was set up because that's, you know, in the beginning of the show, it says it right when the show starts. It's the reenactments. But I didn't know that part of the of the show. I know he mentioned to me that he still gets fan mail in the snaps. I didn't know that even that was. That's why I asked you about it. I actually didn't know that you actually really fucking fucked him. So, I mean, I heard they doctored up his face and all that stuff, but I'm pretty sure some of it wasn't.
Yeah. He was drilled. There's no if ands, buts about it. He got drilled.
Well, it's good for, it's good for TV anyway, you know, because people, you know, that shit's pretty much scripted. And Corp comes in and gives the guy a good fucking hard one, you know. That's good for the TV.
Yeah, it's a good take. I mean, I didn't go to kill him, you know what I'm saying? I didn't throw a full corporal punch, but it was fast and hard enough they knew it.
Nice. Well, if, you know, and not to get on a negative subject, but in the recent months, man, you know, Billy was telling me a little bit, and I read up on it. You had a couple of health scares. Do you care to tell the fans or anything, you know, what's going on with you? Because, I mean, obviously with all this shit going on in the world, the COVID and all that, you know, what was going on with you? Because I know that, you know, you were having a little bit of...
You know, a few years ago, I'd had the Widowmaker heart attack, which should have killed me, but my wife had got me to the hospital in time. And they ended up putting 3 stents in my heart and all that shit. And I ended up surviving it. I was 2 out of 5. I was only 2 people that's only survived it ever at Milwaukee at Frederick Hospital, you know, and that's a massive hospital. So 2 out of, you know, 60, 70 people that went through it and survived it, and I happened to be one of them. Well, what had happened was there was a flat, you know, over the top of one of my other arteries that was clogging it up, as, you know, it wasn't getting enough blood flow to my brain, and that's what got me talking crazy and thinking crazy and all this shit. We didn't know why. So they ended up rushing me and keeping me for about 4 days, found out what it was, and I've been cool ever since. I had to spend about 4 or 5 days in the hospital.
So you're telling me you almost had a fatal heart attack, and you're still down to go and get in the ring and fucking
always
fuck dudes up?
Yeah. Y'all bury me when I'm in the ring, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't going anywhere until they put me in the ground, you know what I'm saying? That's just the way it is.
Well, I'm glad you're okay now, man. I mean, that's got to be scary, because I'm a big dude, and I always worried about my ticker, because, you know, I drink too much.
Yeah, you know, the weight issue's a big deal. I gained a little bit, you know, I'm about 309 now. But I was about 350 then. Oh, man,
yeah.
I'm dropping it as it goes. You know, I was originally, when I first broke in, I was about 230. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm a bigger dude. I'm older, too. You know what I'm saying? I'm 45 fucking years old and been doing this shit for 26 years. You know, most guys ain't lasting 3 to 5 years doing what we do. You know,
I just turned 40.
Top of the game, right. To be at the top of the game for that many years in a row, it wears you down, you know what I'm saying? Your neck, your back, your shoulder, you know, all that shit, which is, you know, that's why some of the boys, that's why, you know, you resort to different measures and things to kill that pain off, you know, emotionally and physically.
Yeah, no, I mean, and real quick, Billy, I know you want to ask him a quick question.
No, go ahead,
You know, it's cool, Corporal, that you were, you know, admitting that you haven't, you know, been on painkillers for a long time. You know, you're down for the booze, just like me, but
Recently, yeah. You know, I went to the doctor because I'm 400 right now, which is shit, man. I think it has to do with COVID. No, but my point is that I drink too many beers. But the doctor told me for the first time in a long time, he said, hey, I might have to, you know, prescribe you if you want, you know, a couple painkillers because I know you're having numbness in your legs from all the injuries, you know, that my back from 22 years of wrestling. And I said, well, I'll take them and I'll have them just in, you know, in the cupboard, but I'm not going to fuck with them.
They're emergencies. Emergencies only type shit. Yeah, same way, because I can't take aspirin in them. You know what I'm saying? You can only do a certain thing. You can't take anything like Advil and all that shit's out the door once you have a heart issue. You know what I'm saying? That shit goes right out the door. So, I mean, I got them here, you know what I'm saying, if I ever, but I've been good enough not to have to take them in 12 years. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's a strong will, man, and cheers to that, you know.
Appreciate it, buddy, because I was on them really, really, really bad. That's probably what cost me my JCW shit, you know what I'm saying, because it wasn't just me. Here's a bunch of us, but it really fucked my shit up for a while.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that stuff will fuck you up, you know. Like, especially if it's, you know, you just can't. A lot of people don't understand the wrestling body, you know. When they see us wrestle, they don't realize what we go through to get where we at. Or, you know, and I mean, Bo's 20-something years, 23 years, you're 26, I'm 20. I mean, we have over 70 years experience on this radio podcast tonight. And, like, wrestling, they say wrestling is fake. You know, wrestling is as real as it can get, especially when we have to – especially when we have to long feed to get out of bed every morning. You know what I mean? So,
every fucking day, man. It doesn't matter. Just to walk to the pisser is an issue. You know,
people don't get that, man.
When you wake up every day in fucking constant pain, it gets aggravating. You know what I'm saying? But I know the destruction of what pain pills did to me in my life. That's why I don't go back. You know what I'm saying? Even though it would probably be better for me to take them. But I just refuse because of everything I went through and what I put other people through, you know, 10, 12 years ago. I don't want to do that again. You know what I'm saying? Unless I really, really have to. If I'm in the hospital, then they inject me with all that shit. But if I'm not, I can control it. I'd rather, you know, take a couple shots of moonshine, hit my butt a couple times, and kill it that way than, you know, taking the pain pills. But that's just me personally, and that's because I abused them for so many years.
Yeah, for sure. Like, let me ask you, this is from something you talked about earlier, but, you know, especially since you were such a big part of ICP and the JCW and all that stuff, like, what are your thoughts of them, of people labeling ICP a gang? Because
I was caught up right in the middle of it. You know what I'm saying? I get pulled over, when I get pulled over, there's five cops that pull up because they consider me a gang leader. You know what I'm saying? You know, in the national database is me, Joe, Joey, Billy, Twisted, I think Blaze is the 5 or 6 they name, you know what I'm saying, as the leader of that shit, you know, and there was never no gang shit involved ever, you know, the whole time it was none of that shit, but we get treated the same way, you know what I'm saying, and I'm sure it's the same for Joe and Joy when they get pulled over, but cop told me one time, man, he said, you're one of the best guys I ever met, he goes, but if we pull you over, we got to have 5 people with us.
That's crazy, yeah, and that's why I wanted to address that. That's just a crazy how that works, you know what I mean? Like, it's just that's discrimination, however you want to look at it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the sad thing, you know? Let me ask you a question. So this is a kind of a cool part of our show that we do at every show. Before we get to, like, the second part of our show, you know, remembering Trent Acid and whatnot, we have a thing on our show, and we do it on all our shows, and everybody loves it.
Rib,
this is
for
the
your
name
pleasure. Rib, for your pleasure.
So it's a part of the show. We do it every show. It's kind of fun. It's kind of like what your favorite rib of all time you pulled on somebody or that you were they pulled on you and that you're able to talk about.
It.
But I'm sure you'll talk about anything. But
no, I got I got you right off the rip, babe, because it's one known. It's known in a lot of places. A lot of people know this, and he tells the same thing. But this is
one second. And the rib is not wrestling Mr. California.
No, that's a horrible rib. I've done that one too, but I got paid well to do it. Extremely well to do that.
We had him on our pot because he's so infamous in California for not paying people and not bringing them out, and of course he. he ended up not making it through the podcast because a lot of people called in to ask where their money is, you know? So it was pretty,
yeah.
It was actually real by itself. It's hilarious. We only did it to kind of, we did it to let people hear what he says only because, you know, we knew it was going to bring people in, and sure enough, it worked out for everybody's advantage because then they can, hey, where's my fucking money, you know? So, but what was your rib? Man, we're looking forward to this one. I know it's going to be good.
Okay, so this was with CM Punk, the legendary CM Punk. And, you know, Punk is, he's a big non-booze drinking pills or anything, you know what I'm saying, kind of guy. His whole straight-edge gimmick was a shoot. You know, but me and Punk had a lot of respect for each other. It took a little while, but me and him had a shit ton of respect for each other. We had great matches together, and there was just a mutual respect. Well, what had happened was the night before we were in Milwaukee, before we went to do, it was a big show for IWA in the Mid-South the next night. And the show in Milwaukee, I was wrestling Hardcore Craig, and I was not kind of silly and all this shit, and I just bought like $400 in pain pills. I had Xanaxes, I had Percocet, Somas, Glortaz. I had the whole slew to get me through the next week and a half. Well, Paul thought it was a great idea to stick an jalapeno pepper inside my pill bottle. Well, of course the juices and shit ruined every fucking thing in there. So I get to the back and I'm fucking fuming and I'm pissed. And then I go to grab a couple pills and there's an jalapeno popper in there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm fucking fuming. You know what I'm saying? I'm beyond fuming. I'm ready to kill him. He's like, fucking go up, just playing. I didn't know I was going to do that. I'm like, I'll fucking kill you, punk. You dumb son. That's $400 you owe me, bitch. Whatever. Well, we had a 2-day layoff and I'd already made it back. We made the shot down in one day. You know what I'm saying? I made the shot down in one day. What I did was I grabbed two full jalapeno buckets that Patty was selling, and I set them son of a bitches out in the sun for a whole day and a half, 2 days. And I waited until he wrestled Chris Hero in a 45-minute Ironman match. And what I did was I took all his clothes and everything in there, and I filled his whole gear bag up with that jalapeno juice. And I made sure I soaked that top towel where you couldn't notice, but I soaked everything in that bitch. And I zipped that motherfucker up. Well, they went 45 and then an extra 30 minutes, so he went almost an hour and a half in the ring with Chris Hero. Well, during the match, he knocked himself loopy real bad. It's real super, super fucking bad. So he was half out. By the time they carried him to the back, he sits in his chair. He's sitting out. He unzips his bag. He grabs that towel, and he puts it straight to his fucking face. And burns his eyeballs out, fucks his face up. You know, he's like, God, oh, what the fuck? God damn it. And I was like, yeah, pay back the bitch too, motherfucker. That's what you get. Well, the shitty part about it was at the hotel room, his bag was so fucked up it smelled all four of the boys' rooms up that were at the hotel. So they had to put all their shit outside and all that shit outside. And it fucked it up so fucking bad that they were all screwed for 4 days. So Punk always told the story, listen, you ever rib somebody, do not let it be fucking Corp, because he will fucking get you 10 times fold.
Hell yeah. That's funny as shit. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. So, Corp, I know a lot of people, man, that are, you know, into the blood and violence and the hardcore deathmatch scene, at least some of my friends, you know, that I've worked with, you know, guys like Necro and, you know, Supreme, God Rest His Soul. You know, a lot of guys, they were really super into like horror movies. Are you a fan of horror movies by any chance?
Yeah, man. I love them. I like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, my forehead's the most synonymous forehead in pro wrestling almost, you know what I'm saying? It's all been carved up and fucked up.
No.
I like horror movies.
Well, if you had to choose one favorite horror movie of all time for your favorite personal choice, what would it be?
Oh, man, I'd do a mix, man, because I was fucked up between the whole Freddy and Jason thing, you know what I'm saying? Because those two were my all-time, and if I could have thrown a three-way in there with Michael Myers, I'd have been set. You know what I'm saying? That's like my three all-time favorites. It's Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, and Jason, of course.
Awesome. Yeah, Michael Myers is my all-time favorite. Halloween 1978 is my favorite horror movie of all time. Just real quick,
yeah,
Corporal,
you can't go wrong with this, dude.
No, absolutely. And just a quick plug here. If you're ever interested in checking out some really cool horror masks or any sort of costumes or props, I work for a company called Trick or Treat Studios. It's www.trickortreatstudios.com. Give it a check out, man. I think you would honestly appreciate what you saw there, man. We got some really cool shit.
Fuck yeah, we'll definitely do that.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, actually, definitely. I was a huge fan, obviously, all those three as well, and I thought it was super cool when they started doing Jason versus Freddy. I heard there was rumors of, like, Michael Myers versus somebody else. But, like, I thought it was going to be a series of movies like that, so I was still looking forward to stuff like that, just because it just totally reminded me of us as wrestlers, you know, so I was hoping that was going to happen, but we only got that one movie. So, this is the part of the show. We wanted to, this week, we lost somebody real close to a lot of us. His name was Trent Acid. If you haven't heard about him, you probably should look him up. He's one of the best wrestlers, I think, period. He passed away 10 years ago. On Thursday will be 10 years. And so I brought in Corporal Robinson. I have the Messiah. He's going to be on our show on Thursday. Hopefully some guests will call in that were friends of Trent. And I wanted to, if you guys know Corporal Robinson, he was part of a company that I now run in California called Pro Wrestling Unplugged. And I was lucky enough to talk to Johnny and Todd and all them, and they were able to, like, basically give me the name. And so I did everything I needed to do to make it cool, bring it back, because I always thought Unplugged was a real cool company. I think it had a lot of great ideas, and I think things were going real well for it. But we lost somebody named Trent Acid, the international superstar. And so I wanted to talk about Trent Acid and maybe some of your favorite stories of Trent Acid and some fun memories, because I know one of my memories, besides the wrestling and all that, was we talked about this before we went on air. There's an Italian restaurant bar that was closed down for us, and all the crew would go and hang out and drink and then smoke and do whatever we wanted to do at that bar. I know Trent was there. You guys were there. ICP, I think, might have been there. Too Tough Tony. I mean, Cashmere. I mean, it was fun times, and those are, like, some of my favorite memories of Pro Wrestling Plugged is back then, is going to that bar after and just hanging out till, like, 4 a.m, or I don't know what time it was. It just seemed like it was – and we'd get those Italian meatballs, or, like, legit Italian restaurant meatballs, you know. Remember that. So what are some of your stories? Before we actually start the stories, we all want to give a shot. You want to support Trent Acid. So if you're ready,
let's do it.
I know Bo's going to be ready.
I'm doing that. I don't know what the fuck you pussies are doing, but I'm doing 99 peaches right now. 99 proof, 100 proof moonshine right now. That's what I'm going to do.
I got a shot of...
You know what's funny? Oh, go
Jack
ahead.
Daniels.
Bo?
No, I just got a shot here.
You know what's funny? Of course, I know it's going to be funny. I don't even drink anymore, believe it or not. So I'm just taking something quick and easy. I'm just drinking a Coke, but...
Me and your boy, we'll do it for you. Here we go. I'm going to do the countdown. Y'all ready?
For
yes,
sure.
Well, that way all three of us take it at the same time, and no push shit, no bailing on it. Don't take a sip and really don't. Here we go. Five,
for sure.
Four, three, two, one. We love you, Verdi.
Here's Trent.
Awesome. Yeah,
I'll tell you the
man,
first time
I ever worked cool.
Real quick, the first time I ever was on a show with Trent, man, I introduced myself. He said, hey, nice to meet you. I watched his match against Jack Evans, and these motherfuckers climbed up like a 20-foot truck, like a semi-truck, and they went on top of the actual cargo, and they started, you know, working spots. And, man, that guy got so close to falling off that damn truck, it even made me trip out. I was like, Jesus, this guy's going to go off that truck. But no, man, he was a super cool cat, very, very humble, very, very talented, and it was very, very sad that, you know, when we lost him years ago, man. But today, you know, we took a shot for him, and I know that every time he came to California, he was always super cool with me, and I consider him a brother and a friend that we miss.
Yeah, Fergie, yeah, that's what we call him, man, Fergie. You know what I'm saying? That's close boys, man. He's from first time I met Birdie, and this is, I don't know, you guys remember the IWA invasion of CZW. But it was probably the most insane, crazy invasion ever done in pro wrestling history. You know, that was two of the biggest hardcore companies actually coming together. And it was the two companies that everybody was talking about at the time because ECW was already folding. So when John and John got together on this whole IWA-CZW invasion angle, it was insane hot. Well, see, Zane didn't kayfabe everybody, not even told the boys that we were hitting the ring that night. Nobody knew nothing. So I had the first thing to do when I came in the back door was I drill screwed the locker room door shut so the boys couldn't get out of it. And that was a shoot. I legitimately did that. And then I started knocking out every security guard possible, shoot style, just laying them out, straight laying them out. JC's job was to hit from the fucking front door, which he did. His job was the same thing, and then was to hit the ring immediately. And that was one of the most insane, crazy nights ever in pro wrestling. You know what I'm saying? It was the IWA invasion of CZW. And the boys knew nothing about it, so they were literally trying to kick the door, get it open, but I had drill screwed them bitches shut so they couldn't. So
that is awesome.
So when we finally met everybody, they realized we were cool and shit. You know, Bertie was the first one to come to me, man. He was the very first one to come to me. He said, man, my name's Trent, dude. He said, man, you seen cool shit. He's like, man, you want to smoke a blunt? I was like, yeah, badly. So me and Trent and Devin Moore had went out the side area, and you know, I'd always kick it with some fans, but I didn't let nobody see me until my entrance because that was always a big deal to me. Your entrance is the most important part. But there were certain people we would kick it with. So my first, you know, thoughts of CDW was I got Trent and Devin taking me outside, kicking it with certain people, man, that were tripping. You know what I'm saying? Like, wait a minute, this is fucking Corporal Robinson with Trent Acid and Devin Moore. Like, what the fuck is going on here? You know what I'm saying? Like, but the main thing was, you know, when I met Bertie was, you know, he made me feel at home. You know what I'm saying? He made me feel like it was no difference in being in the IWA locker room or the CZW one. You know, there's a few. Messiah was one. Gage was one. Nate Hatred, God rest his soul, too. You know, and we had plenty of talent there that made me feel at home there. And then when Johnny took over Pro Wrestling Unplugged with Ty Gordon, the first person that picked me up to the airport was Verdi. You know what I'm saying? It was Verdi and Devin. You know, it was the first two to pick me up at the fucking airport. And you know, we just made a really close bond from the get, you know, and we had many nights at that Italian bar. That was the thing, you know. That was our spot. That was the PW spot. Time didn't have that bitch shut down, and it'd be the stars that were coming in at us, you know. And
yeah.
We had a lot of cocaine snorting, fun having, just the boys had a great time, you know. And that's some of the memories I'll never forget about everything. Yeah, I remember y'all that night you guys met me. I was probably out at the bar with Two Cold Scorpio. Because usually my spot was me and Scorpio and Todd, you know what I'm saying, with Trent or Johnny on the other side of me. You know what I'm saying? That was the four amigos at the bar.
I was at the end of the bar because I didn't, you know, I was like still new with all you guys, so you know how it is. I kind of like keep my distance until I get in with the crew, and then all of a sudden they stopped booking me a couple shows later. But it still, you know, it was the funnest time. I remember getting in my hotel like almost daytime, and then I had to get up in 2 hours to the airport. You know.
We always closed it down when the lights came up. When the sun came up is when we shut down.
Yeah, exactly.
That was my kind of party.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was great. And that was every Pro Wrestling Unplugged show. Everyone we did.
Yeah. What was the name of that bar? Do you remember? And is it still around?
I don't fucking remember. I could see it like the back of my mind, but I don't remember the name of it. I remember the outside balcony part, and I know the bathroom we'd have locked off, and I know the kitchen they'd let us in there for each few of us. I mean, I had full access to that bitch. I mean, I was one of the top PWU stars, period. I had their title and everything, you know what I'm saying? They treated me like a goddamn. I was every one of them, you know what I'm saying? Ty always treated me well. Dirty and Cashmere treated me unbelievably as always. The boys I was always super tight with, you know, Pitbull, Gary Wolf was always there, you know, and it was a great time, man. But the most important part was Verdi, you know what I'm saying? Verdi was the key to all that because he kept everybody laughing and chilling. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anybody was down or bad, Verdi would come up and say something stupid or funny to just make you laugh. Like, what the fuck? All right, cool. And we'd go into some other topic. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would always bring the stress level down, except for Johnny. You know what I'm saying? Because Johnny was always worried about it. Johnny was his best friend. You know what I'm saying? He kept Johnny stressed out a little bit, but Johnny loved him more than anything in the world, you know? And so Johnny was always worried about him. But he was one of the best in-ring talents of all time. And no matter what his vices were, anytime he showed up in the ring, he was on point. He was always on point in that motherfucking ring. And I've never, ever had a bad match with that guy. We worked together probably, you know, it was a good 2.5-3 months straight everywhere in JCW for their world title feud. And we had great matches every fucking night. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody knew who was going to win them. And it peaked off in Philadelphia in a steel cage. And Trent bled more than he's ever bled his entire career against me. That was a bloody-ass insane cage match. You know, that's the night I jumped off the top of the cage with the leg drop to finish it for the title. It was just unbelievable times night after night setting up for that, you know, because we were filming TV while we were on the tour. So we wrestled probably, you know, 10 times that the world never saw. But we wrestled the 10 times everybody did see setting up for Bloody Mania, you know, which was the whole setup of Bloody Mania with me versus Scott Hall.
Yeah, yeah. And so if people are listening on YouTube, you can get an idea. Man, Trent Acid was so over as a heel because he was known as Holy Trent Acid.
Yeah, he was top heel in JCW in 2007. We brought Trent in. And me and Joe sat talking. We're like, what the fuck are we going to do? We're going to, man, I got it. We're going to make him a heel, and we're going to make him the savior of JCW. And his whole first gimmick was that he blinded me with the holy water. You know what I'm saying? Like, he beat me down.
Yeah.
He jumped me. Like, he beat my ass for a good 3 or 4 weeks, man. I didn't get the win up until till the cage match is when I got my win back. But until then, Trent beat my ass for fucking 4 weeks, 6 weeks straight.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just was watching video the other night just to get a idea. I hadn't seen it in a long time on YouTube. There's a really cool Holy Trent Acid, like the best of. And of course, I think the last match is you and him in Long Beach, I think. You were wrestling in Long Beach on that Slam TV episode. And, you know, man, I mean, I can only imagine, like, the stuff that's not seen. I mean, the guy was amazing. I'm super glad that I was able to get the Unplugged name to kind of, you know, I honor him in this way. I also made this week's TV episode that just debuted called Power Surge TV is a match of Trent's. It's a nice little video package I put together just to honor Trent Acid. You know, myself as a wrestler, just like yourself and Bo Cooper, we honor, you know, our brothers, our sisters in the business.
Yeah.
And this is my way of kind of giving back to the Unplugged family.
Man, you're the
shipper
for that, brother. You're definitely the shipper,
you know what I mean?
That I appreciate that, man. And now that I know you're the owner of Pro Wrestling Unplugged, you motherfucking ass better be booking me. Consider nobody
going to
beat me for that hardcore title.
I was
going to
say,
I'm too hard to beat you for that hardcore title. Yeah. I'm
still
the champ
until
I'm beat. No, Todd had the belt originally, but we can get another one made.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I just remember, I was going to say, I don't think you've ever lost it, right? I think you were a champion until it
I never lost that. I never lost that or the JCW World title.
Because I was going to – one of the episodes – see, I helped produce the TV show, so one of the episodes I'm actually going to put on, thought it was a cool concept, is when you came out and did the gimmick where you basically – it was either knockout or, I think, submission or I forgot what – you know, for the Unplugged title gimmick, and I thought that was really cool. It's funny because a couple of guys was like Aramis, who's, you know, end up being a pretty big star in Pro Wrestling Unplugged, and, you know, Pete Hunter, you know, and stuff like that. You know, that was our first match. Me and Gangrel was Pete Hunter and Aramis with Gary Wolf, you know, as manager. So the good news is once everything gets going and we start doing our thing back, you know, with all this COVID stuff, Unplugged will be back bigger and better. So, yeah, definitely want to get you out here and obviously show what the West Coast, what hardcore wrestling is about, you know. Because, you know, you got guys like Mr. Cali, California, that thinks that his stuff's hardcore, which it's not, you know. I mean,
that's why I murder that motherfucker anytime I'm near him. So anytime I murder that is one guy where the shit goes out the window. I just beat him up.
Well, it's one of those things where you know he pays to you know, to for people to beat him up. And one time, you know, he's talking shit to me, and he's like, oh, man, I can't fight you. He's like, I want to fight you, talking about me, talking shit about me. I'm like, bro, you pay me whatever you want. I'll come beat you up, whatever you want to do. You know, not, you pay what I want.
Right. As you're paying, as long as I got my paycheck when I walk in the door, you pay me. Well, he had the deal I had with him. When I walked off the plane, he had to pay me everything. So he handed me $2,500 in cash the minute I walked off the plane and my hotel room key so I could do what I wanted.
That's cool. Yeah, I know. You know what? He's just that's another show for another time. It's not worth it. This is Trent Acid's show. It says Corporal Robinson, Bo Cooper, myself. I know Bo has to go in a couple minutes. But, yeah, definitely, man, this has been fun. If you have any, like, besides the Trent Acid story, because obviously we're going to be doing it on Thursday as well, so I'm hoping maybe Corp, you can call in and talk to Messiah, myself, and maybe, you know, talk some more Trent stories. I'll try to get Devin Moore to call in.
Yeah, man. Look, man, Billy's one of the best guys in this business, man. Messiah's great. Me and Billy had great matches together. We wrestled each other a few times in IWA's house during that invasion angle. And it was always good times, man, always good times with Billy.
Yeah, no, he's cool, man, and obviously he's a West Coast guy, so we got to be around him a lot when he was first starting out and, you know, before and after the thumb incident. So, you know, like, we're cool, man. Like, he's a cool guy, and I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. A lot of people haven't heard from him in a long time, so there's a lot of stuff that's happening in California, like with Supreme passing away and a few other
things. Yeah, that's just,
you know, I want to give a shout out.
You know, the crazy thing about Supreme, man, I was booked against him for AWR as a surprise in their deathmatch tournament that was coming up. It was their surprise of the night was going to be me versus Supreme, which had been the first time it actually happened. And that was an independent dream match right there. It was Corporal Robinson versus Supreme.
Oh, wow. That would have been, too. And shout out to Bo Cooper. You know, obviously we both were trained by a guy named Jesse Hernandez, School of Hard Knocks. We also want to give a shout out to Joey Chaos, Supreme, and the Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy. That, you know, obviously Supreme, that was one of that was school. And, you know, so we also want to give a shout out to you know, everybody, like, I want to, you know, you mentioned them earlier.
Yeah, all of them are great guys, man. Every one of them cats are great guys, man. All them guys are great guys.
For sure, man. I want to give you mentioned them earlier. I didn't get to say anything because I forgot to, but Kevin Gill, man, he's a huge supporter of what we do here. And I don't know if you still talk to him. He was really cool with what we did.
KG, man, that's one of the best voices of all time wrestling, man. I've never had heat with KG, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know what his feelings is towards me with everything that went down, but I got no heat towards KG. And that was what, like I said, I've let all my shit go. I've let everything go in the past. That was there, you know what I'm saying? But me and Kevin Gill had a lot of good years together, man. I got no heat whatsoever. It is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. No, good voice, man. He was fucking awesome. Hey, do you have we'll end this right now in a couple minutes. Let me ask you, have any good, cool memories about Pro Wrestling Unplugged, like, that you can maybe tell the fans now that Pro Wrestling Unplugged is back, maybe, like, give them, like, something to look forward to?
What are you saying about one of my fondest is, you know what I'm saying, of course, me and Necro match that made it to Mexico City in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated, the scene where everything, where I'm sitting there and all the chairs are coming up top Necro. And that was a big deal from Pro Wrestling Unplugged because we got the whole fucking Pro Wrestling Illustrated covered this big there. And the other one was me and Samoa Joe going 45 minutes in a back-to-forth match that was unstoppable. And then me and Ian doing the window panes match. You had the PWU versus JCW invasion angle that was massive. You know, it ended up with all of us turning on Raven and beating the shit out of Raven at the end of it. Where we was all together, where PW and JCW was actually all together. I got major fond memories of Pro Wrestling Unplugged, man. It's real deep in my heart, man. They Ty Gordon and Johnny had you know, they put the ball in my hands and I ran with it. You know what I'm saying? I made sure every time I hit that ring, man, I showed out for them. You know what I'm saying? There was never a bad match when I wrestled with Pro Wrestling Unplugged, ever. There was never one bad match and be like, well, Corporal Robinson sells it. You never hear Corporal Robinson mails it in, ever. You know what I'm saying? And never. What kind of shape I'm in or anything goes on, I make sure the fans get an unbelievable show no matter what.
Yeah, no, and totally. When I was very honored to be there, I think 3 or 4 shows. It was just a different environment. The crowd, it just felt special. The few years it was, you know, there, and I just loved my experiences and obviously meeting people like yourself and Trent. I knew Trent when he came to California, like Bo said, I was there for that show when he went on top of the truck and stuff. But just crazy meeting all these cool people like Todd and Johnny and, I mean, Gary Wolf and, I mean, even like Amy Lee and, you know, people like that.
Yeah,
Amy Lee was one of the boys, you know, for sure, you know.
Yeah, so, 100%, man. Amy Lee was that dresser.
Yeah, for sure. And so on Thursday, if you're listening, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is California time, we're going to be we have The Messiah, which is a second part of our podcast in honor of Trent Assets. So if you guys are listening, don't forget to tune in on Thursday, this Thursday, as we have The Messiah. And, again, that's 10 years of Trent's passing. So it sounds like we'll have Corporal Robertson. We'll probably have Devin Moore. Maybe we'll get Johnny Cashmere. And who knows who else will call in. I might have to make this a 3 or 4 hour podcast. You never know, because I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of people, especially on that day, you know. So especially it's such an honorable day.
Man. Birdie was one of the best ever, man. I just want to thank you guys, man, for having me out here. Anytime you guys need me or whatever, just let me know, man. I'm down.
For
Corp,
sure.
It's been
and
a pleasure,
how,
man. We appreciate
you. Yeah, sure, Bo. Go ahead, Bo. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, man, we appreciate you. And, you know, my crippled ass, if we ever get the opportunity to work, man, it would be an honor, you know, and we can show the fans what the fuck's up, you know what I mean? And I was going to say one last thing, man, before. Yeah, no, totally, man. You sound like a great dude, and hopefully we'll get to cross paths one day in the ring and out of the ring and have a drink together. Corp, before we let you go, man, and we want to say thank you to all the Vendetta Pro fans for listening in. Do you have any social media sites that you want to let the fans know how they can get in contact with you, or any email for the bookers or anything?
I got the the CorporalRobinson.net is about to drop real soon, and that's gonna be so dope. We're gonna about to be doing live where I'm gonna do my own podcast on there, going over shows and putting over independent product and things like that. It's gonna be super dope. It's also gonna have things on there for indie wrestling guys that are just breaking in on what to do and how to get like wrestling insurance and how to get insurance for health and how where to stay booked at and things like that. So I'm gonna try to do a little bit different with my website, but it's really cool with what's going on. If you go to Pro Wrestling Tees, you'll see my new shirt. Richard Lane's doing an amazing job with that. If you go to the Corporal Robinson Facebook page, plus it's Steven Robinson on Facebook. That's myself. You'll see, you know what I'm saying? It's my buddy, me and Neil. You know, there's an old one that was on there that my ex-bitch locked me out of. So just make sure you get the right Corporal Robinson. But until then, man, that's it, man. That's all I got, man. Buy that new shirt, man. Sanazawa did it. It's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable deathmatch shirt. And if you're a wrestling fan, you definitely want it.
Man, it's been a fun show, man. It's good to reminisce. It's good to hear your voice. Every time I've seen the health scares, I always worry, you know, because you're a good guy, and I'm glad you're going to be back in the ring. Like you said, you have another year left, so if people are listening, Corp's ready to tear it up for at least another year. You better take advantage while he's still around, because he is definitely one of the most knowledgeable guys in the wrestling and even hardcore scene. So thank you for being on our show, man. It was cool. Vendetta Pro Radio, Pro Wrestling Unplugged Radio, honoring Trent Acid. It sounds like we'll probably hear from you in a couple of days. So once again, man, thanks for being on. Don't forget, tomorrow night we also have Bo's going to be on Instagram with the Hops and Horror podcast, or I guess Instagram podcast. And then, of course, Thursday with The Messiah on the biggest little show on radio. So we are Pro Wrestling Unplugged, Micromania Tour, Battling Bombshells. This is Corporal Robinson. This is Brawl and Bo Cooper. I'm Billy Blay. We like to end the show on a fun time. This band is called Steel Panther, one of the funniest bands to watch live. This is called Tomorrow. Party Like Tomorrow is the End of the World. Thank you, Corporal Robinson, one more time. And thank you guys for listening. This was a fun podcast, and look forward to Thursday night. Rest in peace to Verdi, a.k.a. Trent Acid.